Hey everybody, welcome back to Black Belt
or Bust.
I'm Keely. Oh, I sound so much more excited than you. It's kind of scary. It's Misty, by the way. Oh my god, my coffee. You start. My coffee's okay. Over there.
We wanted to talk about the Atlanta Open because we're coming to an end for competing until PANS in September. There's other shit that's going on.
No, I actually got reached out to about a super fight.
Did you? Oh, was
not
it?
Not for Fuji. Fight 20.
No, but it was Fuji, right?
Yeah.
Did you too? Okay, so he messaged me asking me if I wanted a super fight. I told him I was going to be out of town, and I was like, ask Keely McCarty. She might win. But I also said she might want to work the tournament too, so I just said reach out to her.
Well, that's the day that we were supposed to have a seminar. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I finally saw it, and I was like, hey, what time is it? If it's in the morning, that's a no-go, because I'd rather do the seminar, because, you know, feet and foot fetishes. Yeah. And even though making money would be a better idea. But anyways, so...
Which reminds me, Robert Daigle, who is a John Danaher brown belt, is coming to visit our home gym.
Again.
UFC gym Greenville. Do you know how much the cost is going to be?
So it's probably going to be like $50.
Okay.
And if I know David, it's going to be from 11 to 1 with a 30-minute question and answer session afterwards. Normally, the past couple times we've brought him in, we've done a lot of leg entanglements, heel hooks, but I think this time we're going to go over his back and arm saddle system.
Yeah, he did say there was going to be a Q&A. I'm pulling it up right now on...
Beast of Book, because the Book of Faces knows all of the information that's relevant in our life.
So it's going to be a Nogi seminar, $50. All affiliations are welcome. We may cover more back attack sequences this time, but we will have a Q&A session for people to ask about the Danaher Death Squad systems they want to learn about as well.
I love how that says it.
As it gets closer, there's going to be a better time estimate, but we're thinking 11 to 1 for the seminar and a half an hour Q&A session after. So all affiliations are welcome. Please reach out to UFC Jim Greenville on there on Facebook. You can, find him on Instagram. If you want to message me or Keely or the Black Belt or Bust Instagram, if you're interested, and then we'll forward your information to our gym. I'll be out of town then, but
if y'all want to come play footsies with me,
Keely will be there.
I feel like I need to pay people to be able to play footsies with me. Yeah. What? It didn't just get weird. Okay, anyways. That and then, so this episode will come out technically next week.
Okay.
But it's, so for you listeners, it's currently a Wednesday. So we are actually in the middle of a women's camp with Black Belt Liz Mitrovic. So she's going to be coming up on the podcast soon, where we're going to be able to sit and talk with her. She's a black belt that's currently at Precision Jiu-Jitsu in California. I don't even know what town in California. We just know California.
Sacramento.
There we go. I'm terrible at locations. I get lost all the time. GPS saves my life, except in Florida, because fuck Florida traffic. Anyways, so we will be currently in the middle of a women's camp with her. And then hopefully her podcast episode will be coming out shortly after. So just a lot of stuff going on. Another thing to note is that August 14th is going to be King of the Ocean at Spartanburg Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes.
For anybody that's interested, they're looking for blue through purple. Registration for competitors is $50. Spectators is $15.
And I don't know if they're full already as far as competitors go. But people are welcome to watch, because all spectator fees are going to be... 100% of the spectator fee is going to be donated. But I can't remember if they said it's closed or not.
Oh, well, you should still... No, don't even worry about it now. But you should still check out their Instagram, Facebook, all that fun jazz. Okay, now that we've gotten our good Samaritan for the jiu-jitsu community out of the way, I'm tired of competing. I don't know about you.
I'm so fucking done. Okay, so I wanted to do this episode, and it's not like a recap of, like, competing and, you know.
I mean, we compete so much, y'all are probably sick and tired of it.
Yeah, so going into this competition, because we had just finished the camp in Florida, and I stated in Florida, we still have to compete next weekend, I don't give a shit how I do. And yeah. I, like, didn't.
So, we had some interesting moments last weekend. This past weekend.
It, you could tell the vibe, like, even in the arena,
even, yeah, even, like, the building, it was just...
everybody was burnt out. I mean, we had some teammates that, you know, they got gold, they did exceptionally well, but it was so much burnout. You could just see people were tired, the IBJJF... And even other tournament organizations have given us so much after the pandemic. They've done so much where they're allowing us to compete, but I think everybody got a little too eager, jumped into everything at once, and then...
Yeah, so here's the thing. Especially because we went from a year of not having any competitions to all of a sudden everything's open and we want to go to everything. And it's really hard because registration for everything is opening at the same time. So everybody is like... sign up for this, sign up for this, sign up for this, sign up for this. And then we realize, shit, they're all at the same, like, pretty much the same time. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you don't realize until you're in it, where it's, like, back-to-back weekends. Like, this yeah. is going to be the first weekend in 6 weeks that we are in town.
Yeah.
And I'm...
And we could have fun, because, you know, we got a fun thing planned Saturday.
But to be fair, I will be... driving home from the airport because I fly out in 2 days to go to Colorado. Yeah. I'll be flying back at 11:30 p.m. Friday, so technically into the weekend, I'm just not getting back.
But at least, I mean, you know, you'll go
sleep in our own bed,
get some sleep, and then
we'll sleep in our own bed.
And one thing I do have to say is I'm incredibly grateful I've been able to travel and compete.
Right.
This has been a time I've had the funds to sign up and fly. Thank you, frequent flyer miles. And, you know, additional, what is it, rebates and credits or whatever. But this has been a moment in my life I'm also cherishing because I've spent so much of my life working and going yeah. to school. Like, I started working at the age of 15. That does not include years prior where I was helping other people with their kids. And then, you know, giving up my weekends as a teenager to go babysit and, you know, deal with all my other personal shit. And then starting to work at 15 and working double shifts as a 19-year-old. And then, you know, taking on a full-time job that was basically a career and then jumping into school full-time. So doing that and then working jobs I was miserable at, you know, this has given me an opportunity to, like, do something I love. And so I do have to say I'm very grateful for that. But I'm also tired right now. Like, I'm tired.
Yeah, I get that. And then, you know, keeping track of everything is just a bitch where it's, like, even in terms of, like, we have had all of these trips organized where it's, like, mm-hmm. we've had our travel, our stay, our budget, all those things back to back to back.
Yeah.
And it just seems like everything's just overlapping with one another where it's like by the time we get home, my significant other described it to me. He's like, it felt like when you were home, it was a pit stop.
Yeah.
He was like, you came here, you did your laundry, you repacked your bags, you said hi to the kids. My kids are my fur babies. And then you were back out the door.
Yeah.
And for the past couple weeks, it has been like that. And I am grateful that we have such wonderful support systems around us that they mm-hmm. understand how much this meant to us
yeah.
to go compete and to go do things that we wanted. I know, for example, like I was talking to my mom the other day where I felt guilty about going out so much to compete and to do these things. And she was just like, this is the most stressful time of your life in terms of like finishing up PhD. She's like, you deserve to be selfish mm-hmm. and you deserve to do some things that bring you joy other than constantly staring at a computer screen and driving yeah. yourself insane. And, you know, she was trying to tell me where she's like, don't feel guilty for putting yourself first to do something that makes you happy right now.
Yeah.
Especially when, like you said, we've got the means to do so.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean to say I'm not happy just to be home.
Yeah, to have a break, not have something planned. Because, like, I was thinking that. I was like, what's going on this weekend? There's got to be a fight. There's got to be
something.
Something. And there's not. We have, like, a pool party planned.
Great.
That's it.
It's so great. Well, that, and then...
That's fine for me, because I'm like... But, and, like, here's the other thing. we did go to Sophia's camp in Florida, but I had so much fun. That didn't feel like work. That didn't feel like training. That didn't feel like all the shit I needed to do. It was, I'm having a fun trip. That had nothing, like, we had trained jiu-jitsu, but in my spare time, instead of going to an open mat or another jiu-jitsu class, I was like, no, I'm going to go buy a skim board, and I'm going to try this new thing, because I want to. And I'm glad I did. And going into the tournament this past weekend, I knew how I felt, and it was, I don't want to fucking do it. I would rather eat this money and rest.
Yeah, so we almost did that too.
Yeah, like, we literally went to Target and...
Okay, so first,
let's talk about... it's not my place to say what happened.
Okay.
You tell your side of the story.
So I was... Okay, for one, I've already been yelled at about this in terms of, like, you shouldn't be donating plasma before you're planning to compete. Well, I didn't fucking know I was in the wrong weight class until I was in the middle of donating plasma. And so I'm laying there, got my earphones in. P.S. I have, like, this setup. I bring my own little stressy ball. It's a little cow to be able to donate. And I've got my earphones and a blankie because you get cold. I mean, I'm set and lounging and just... playing on my phone. And I was like, oh, brackets came out. Let me check my bracket. And then, because Saturday's gi, Sunday's no gi. I couldn't find my bracket. And I was very confused. And was just like, what the fuck? I don't see my weight. And then I clicked on the weight below me and I see my name. And I realized that while for no gi, I had correctly switched it to the correct weight class, for gi... I did not double check that it was switched, and it was not.
Yeah.
So, about 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, post-plasma donation, I was like, oh shit, I have to cut weight right now. And I almost didn't at all.
Yeah.
I was just not feeling it. Misty knows. I messaged her. And she was like, I'll go sit in the sauna with you. So, here my happy ass goes. I lost... I really hope my mother's not listening to this. I lost 5.5 overnight.
After we've bitched women can't lose that much weight in a short amount of time.
And so, okay, that's the shit part.
Well, okay, because we had gone to Florida, we were holding on to everything.
So much water.
Everything, like.
And we put back, like, gallons of water. Like, each day we put over a gallon, if not, like, almost 2 gallons. Like, we were putting water back.
Yeah.
Like, no tomorrow.
And... that night, before you checked your weight where you thought you were fine, I was worried because I was fine in the gi. I was not fine for no gi.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can switch out your gis, you can do all this stuff. So no gi, I was like, oh my god, this 0.8 ounces isn't going anywhere. I had been in the sauna for 30 minutes and it had not budged. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was worried, and that just put more stress on me because it was like, this... my weight numbers were going back and forth. And I was like, I don't know how to figure... I can't figure this shit out, right? And then you were dealing with your weight.
Yeah, so... lost 5.5. Morning of... I checked my weight at the house. And I was like, I think I'm gonna be good. Because I was, like, the second match that morning. Normally, I'm later in the day. So, I mean, that was also part of it where I was like, oh, shit, like, the second we get there, because we left here at 6, and it was, like, 2.5-hour drive, I was going to be, like, the first match. So, I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. It's going to be fine. I only need to lose 0.2 pound. 0.2. Cat, let go of the purse. He's eating the tassels on your purse, by the way. Okay. That's not okay. Anyways, so, could not for the life of me. In the gi. And I'm wearing, like, the lightest gi. I need to get... if anybody has any light belt, like, lightweight belt recommendations, please let me know. Please. Because I was 0.2 over, and I could not lose it. So, my happy ass got disqualified Saturday morning for being 0.2 over because my dumb ass didn't double check my weight class. And then I was on weight for Sunday, so I got to compete Sunday. But Saturday, we almost didn't leave. I almost told Misty, like, go back to bed. And then I was like, no, I need to at least try. Like, I did all this. Let's at least go down there, try to weigh in, see what happens. No.
And then after that happened with her, I was like, you know, I would totally understand if you just want to go home now. Like, let's just go home.
So
we went to Target because that's where the nearest...
I needed coffee.
And the two nearest Starbucks were either inside the Atlanta airport or...
In a Target.
So we went to Target and killed some time. And I was like, you know, we can go home. I wouldn't mind going home. I will message my opponent, because I knew who my opponent was, and I was like, I'll just message her and be like, I can't do this today, like, I'll possibly see you tomorrow.
Kat, quit eating the tassels. Lily's, like, going to town over here right now.
So,
Misty was so good to me. It was literally after it happened, she came up and gave me a hug, and she was just like, we're gonna go get you coffee. And whatever your little heart desires. Like, she's like, we will get whatever you need.
And I just didn't want to be there, because I was like, I feel like shit today. Because, like, Keely was sauna-ing, and I was trying to get off this, like, 0.8 ounces. And I was so worried about my weight that I was dehydrated and I was hungry. As I've talked about before, weight cutting is not for me. Like, it's fucking not. I am not built that way. So, I felt like shit, and I went into my match, and the second my guard was passed, I was like, just give my opponent this match, because I am done. And I got out of there, and everything was spinning, and I thought I was going to have a heart attack, and because there was a moment in the match where I felt like all the air was sucked out of me, like something physically happened with my lungs to the point where I was like, oh my god, like I'm... Something bad's gonna happen. So, I took my loss and then went home and I was like, fuck, I still have nogi, so I don't really get to enjoy food or water. Kept myself dehydrated and hungry. Ate enough so my weight wouldn't budge too much and I was just under the weight. And I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna snack a little bit and sip some water throughout the day. Still a bad fucking idea, because when I had my match... I felt like shit again. The same thing happened. And so, I mean, there was this part of me that was like, I knew I was going to feel like shit going into this tournament. I knew it. I had a feeling. And I wasn't going to perform well. I was still fine with my jiu-jitsu technique. It wasn't the best. But it was still, like, I was still like, okay, I did well for, you know, having to rely on muscle memory because my brain cells weren't being activated.
They
at
were
all.
Not happy.
My conditioning was shit, like, shit. And I said this to Keely. I said, was I not prepared for this tournament? No, I absolutely was not. I relied on all my past training I've done for the past 3 years to probably kick in. And I had fucking fun in Florida playing in the ocean in my free time. When I could have been drilling and rolling harder. But the thing is, too, even with me wanting to bail, I still had one opponent on Saturday, and I had one opponent on Sunday that still trained for that fucking tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They got their win. They earned, both of them earned their wins. So when I wanted to leave, I said, you know what? I'm not going to fucking do this to my one opponent. They only have one other person, and that's me. I would be pissed if I trained really fucking hard, went into a tournament, and my opponent didn't show up.
See, and I, like, when I got DQ'd, I was more upset that it's, like, these ladies don't get a lot of matches, and I just took another match away from them.
Yeah.
So, my first match, this was, like, the fifth time I was going to, wow, words are hard today. We're going to go against each other. And she was so sweet about it. You know, I went and told her, I was like, look, I'm so sorry. I was like, I screwed up. I thought I was in the other weight class because she was my match for Nogi in the higher weight class, right? And so I was just like, I thought today was middle heavy. You know, I didn't realize I was in the wrong weight class. So I was like, I tried to cut and I just couldn't get the rest off this morning. And she was just like, I had to lose a few over the past couple of days. She's like, I understand. It's fine. And I was like, well, we're each other's matches for tomorrow. And she's like, okay, well, like, we'll go tomorrow. And she was just like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt like I just needed to tell them where it's like, I tried. It's not like I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I really tried for them, and it didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things where when we go into this, we're also respecting our opponents. Like, if I lost, I fucking lost, and you won. Like, you mm-hmm. earned your win. Most of the time, that's the case. I know there's some things that are bullshit, like refs. Like,
I had a lot happen the past couple days, guys.
We can accept our own responsibility to be like, no, I fucked up. And when I had gotten home, I just had a breakdown. Like, I was like, I can't fucking do this. I am tired. Like, I am so tired. And I am not a 20-year-old male athlete at his peak. I can't do what a lot of these guys can do. And yeah. I know there are also, like, really great female athletes as well. And I cannot categorize myself in these two areas because I also deal with my fatigue and I'm tired all the time, and it's something that I don't want to use an excuse because I want to kind of push through it and get it fucking figured out.
It's not an excuse when you are actively trying to find solutions for it. It's an excuse whenever you let it affect you and mm-hmm. aren't actively trying to do things mm-hmm. to take care of it or to address it or to deal with it. Like you are constantly trying to better yourself or to find ways to be able to train more and deal with what you've got going on.
Yeah. Or find ways to train smarter. It's like, you know, we can go into a comp training class and we see five big dudes, like blue belting up, right? Mm-hmm. And then we see one, maybe two other women in there, various sizes and ranks. For me to get the most efficient training, I need to be training with the female that's my size and rank. The mm-hmm. entire 2 hours. That's where I'm going to get the most effective comp training, because if I'm training with these big dudes, I'm either playing, hey, I got to be safe and just do whatever's going to keep me safe, and then play survival of escapes, which are great,
the rest
which
of the are time.
Good, and they're also good for self-defense. Like, don't get me wrong.
We're not saying not to do that at all.
Yeah, if I'm going into a competition training where I'm like, I've got to beat women who are 114 pounds and lighter, I've got to be training with that other female.
Well, it's different when you're training to train jiu-jitsu and when you are training as a competitor for sport jiu-jitsu. Like, mm-hmm. there's a shift where it's like, you know, if, for example, like me, I want to do absolutes, you know, and we learned this weekend that absolute can suck.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like I got hit by a truck. Really, I got, like, thrown by a super heavy. Anyways, but because I like to do absolutes and because our coach allows me to do absolutes, training with larger males makes sense mm-hmm. for me for competition.
Yeah.
But you do not do absolutes. You need the smaller individuals mm-hmm. to work sport jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, so it's different.
Yeah. And that's also how I'm like, okay, how can I train the most efficiently to get ready for competition? And that's where I need to be, right? Mm-hmm. And another part of that is like building up even lower ranks who can eventually get to that point where it's like, if we do need to have a solid comp training, we can. Which mm-hmm. is what I'm now seeing the results of from you and other women who've helped me from white belt and up. As long as I was willing to work mm-hmm. and put in that work and get my ass kicked, now I can try and push you guys harder.
Yeah.
At least to my complete, total inability to do so. I can do that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, I used to love going to an open mat and just seeing every single person in there and being like, yes, like, I'm going to roll hard today. I'm going to get this amazing training. But sometimes you get to a point where you're like, that's a little too hard on my body. Or is this going to be effective? Is it going to be productive? What am I going to do with this, you know, and the people I see at an open mat?
I get that, because sometimes I'm just like, all right. For example, dislocated my knee. Why are words so hard today? Some days when competitions are coming up, it's, all right, who do I roll with that's going to keep me safe for this competition? Mm-hmm. Other days, knees hurt, but it's, if I don't have a competition coming up, it's the realization of like, all right, in the real world, they don't care if you're sick. They don't care if you're injured. They don't care mm-hmm. what's going on. You still need to be able to protect yourself and handle yourself. So even sometimes when my knee's feeling bad, I'm like, all right, I need to go to the person that might challenge me not necessarily put me in danger, but maybe isn't going to be as aware, mm-hmm. so that I can get a little bit of the real feeling of, all right, how am I going to keep myself safe if I have this limitation?
Yeah.
And to mentally be able to go into it being like, I know I am injured here.
Yeah.
Sometimes you tell a person where, like, hey, I'm injured, and they're like, oh, that's great. And then they immediately go for it because, you know, they're dicks.
Yeah.
Girls, too. They do it. I still think you're a dick if you do that. And sometimes I will roll with that person knowing that if I tell them this information, that's what they're going to hunt for. And I do it intentionally, mm-hmm. because then I know, all right, if you are hunting for this, this is how I'm going to train myself to keep myself safe.
Yeah.
I know that's a kind of a warped way to think about it, but there are individuals I know, if I tell you I'm hurt, you're immediately going to be like, today's the day I tap a purple belt. You know, I see the light bulb go off. Like, yeah. You're not hiding it.
Yeah.
I see it.
Which is, it's still such a weird mentality to me to be like, no, I constantly need to tap a higher rank. It's so weird.
It's bull. Like,
I've been tapped by lower ranks multiple times. And it's one of those things where I'm like, the only time I've let it get to me is if I'm mentally in a bad place. And I'm like, can I protect myself on the street? Can I actually do jujitsu? Why does my I have to be in a good mental place to accept that. But at the same time, it's like, it's just so weird that we see this belt color.
And you feel like competition.
Oh my God, I got to tap this person to prove something to myself and everybody else around me. Honestly, when nobody really gives a shit.
The only time it really pisses me off, and you know this, where it's like, that wasn't even technical. You just wanted to hurt me, and to keep myself safe,
yes.
I needed to get out of it because I was in a position of either like size difference or even just like technicality speaking, where it's like, I know I'm not technical enough to safely prevent this or get out of this, or I just can't handle, or even like emotionally being like, I just can't handle this today.
Yeah.
And it's like, some, you don't want to reward them with the tap,
mm-hmm.
but other times you're like, I need to get the fuck out, where it's like at the beginning of the year, it was cranking on my neck, and I immediately mm-hmm. went to the place where it's like, the car accident when I injured my neck, and yeah. I was out for months. That's all I thought about. And I immediately went to a bad place. So it was like, tap, get out.
Yeah.
Disassociate, because I was kind of like set off in that moment. And it's yeah. like, I needed to go to the locker room to cry for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so like there are times where you do tap and you're like, I didn't want to tap to that. You know, I'm not saying, you know, how we're, it's like, well, that was more of a crank.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it like that, where you're being a dick, where you're not rewarding it. Because guess what? They did get the tap at the yeah. end of the day. That's not the situation I'm talking about. I'm talking about whenever you know somebody just wanted to get the tap by any means necessary, where it wasn't technical or it wasn't even less experience, where they just didn't know how to do it. No, these were people that they know how to do things properly, but they choose not to because they'd rather tap you than anything else.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Swerve from main conversation, sorry.
No, well, it's still part of it, 'cause it's like, even with competitions, you know, I had a good streak this year, mm-hmm. you know, like, I was doing really well and feeling really good, and I just got to a point where I was tired. I was still willing to compete and just go out there and do it, because I had signed up, and I was like, my opponents need their matches, and I'm mm-hmm. going to go out and do my best, which I did.
You did.
I didn't physically feel my best, but I just went out and was like, okay, we're going to do jiu-jitsu today. Like, we're still going to try and win. They won. And what affected me more, it wasn't losing. I was so tired
mm-hmm.
that's what cost. It was like, I went into this feeling like shit. And that's when I made the decision that I was like, I can't keep competing at this weight class anymore.
Yeah.
It's not doing me any good yeah. at all. And, you know, when we had talked about this with actual physics, and it's something that Jana talked about too with women, why they're better at judo or better judo partners, because they're heavier in their hips. We carry all our weight in our hips. So when you're going up against someone who's smaller, so for me, competing at light feather, these women who will actually do well in light feather are about 5 feet tall and shorter, and they're strong, and they have strong muscle density. Where I'm like 5'2.5", and I know that's still small and short, with less weight on me and less muscle, I cannot, they're going to be much harder to sweep, and get to the ground, even with takedowns. Even if I had, like, a decent takedown game, they're still harder, because it was like, when I had my no-gi opponent in that guillotine, and my arm was wrapped around, and you were telling me to circle, I still was like, and you were like, snap down, I was like, her weight is already, like, so much lower than mine that my weight wasn't going to pull her down. I was like, the fucking physics of this isn't going to work. So it's like, I need to address this with David and Trey at the gym. Because I was like, oh my God. Because I know it was I was doing it incorrectly, but when I felt all their weight being so solid, I was like, shit, like, I can't do this right now. But I just had this breakdown where I'm like, I want to go and compete, but enjoy food throughout the week and not deprive myself either. I hate that feeling where I'm like, oh, I can't have this till I compete. Like, I'm so over feeling that now.
We had the bread things, the blueberries.
Yeah, I have them
still. I forgot that we got those.
You should have brought those over.
I do have cookie dough bites in the freezer that I might go grab.
But see, it's like we want these things. And we
there are rewards.
Reward ourselves for fucking competing. It doesn't make sense. I'm like, why am I paying this much money to compete and then feel like I need to deprive myself to get this medal that's just external validation in a social media post, be it either yay, like I won, or
I stepped on the scale and received my gift even though I didn't compete against anybody to actually earn it, but let me put a gold medal on social media so that everybody thinks I did when I didn't do jack shit.
Yeah, which is another, and here's another thing that I got really tired of. I've been dealing with a lot of like kind of like existential stuff lately, and social media has been one of those things. Because we'll post our wins on social media. One way, it's a good way for athletes to start getting sponsorships, start networking, connecting, stuff like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's really how you want to use social media. But when people are constantly posting the highlights and the wins, and you're not seeing what's going on in the background, and you're not really seeing what's really there or the grind, like, to me, I don't want to see your best jiu-jitsu. There are times where I'm like, I know you won, but I need, where's the grind behind that? Like, why are people not showing so much more of, like, the grinding and the...
Well, that are like, if this isn't like, what all it fucking takes. Puppies and rainbows.
No.
Like, this is shit. And do I understand sometimes, you know, we sign up for weight classes and we might get one opponent, we might not get any opponent, and you have the option where it's like you can either defer, wait, or you can go into the absolute. I got no problem with that. But it's claiming that you had these wins when there wasn't anybody in the weight class.
Yeah.
That's the issue I have. Yeah. Where so, it's like, don't act all high and mighty.
Yeah.
That or I'm so tired of the bad attitudes.
Yeah, and the sportsmanship too. It's like,
I'm just over
if
it.
If you lose, you lose. Like, your opponent won. And there are times I've been after, like, right after I lose, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't believe it just happened, you know? But I get up, and, you know, I always congratulate my opponent and thank him for giving me a good match. Like, I always make sure, even when I have those tough, tough matches, I love having an opponent that's going to give me their all and make me work than take the easy wins. Because I, you know, I've had wins that are like, you can manipulate the rule set, which we talked about. With, you know,
well, it's not even manipulating it. It's some people. Here's the thing. When we think of competitors for certain things, they work the rule set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think of a true athlete, an athlete can adapt to all of the different rule sets.
Yeah.
Some people are very competitive for certain things, for example, like IBJJF, because they can work the system where some of them can get positional, like, an advantage and then coast the whole time. You know, there are some people, even for EBI, that coast until overtime.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who know how to work the rule set, and that's fine. It is. Because ultimately, guess what? Like, you won.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of, what do you personally want to be? Do you want to be the athlete that can go to all of these different things and have good have the better technique? Or do you want to be the competitor that will win the most?
Yeah.
Because some people, they win and you're just like, their jiu-jitsu isn't shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I've seen that too. I've seen a lot of the things that have been highlighted where I'm like, this isn't good jiu-jitsu. Or have you ever watched a black belt world? Okay, and I know people are like, you're a blue belt who doesn't, like, really win shit. But sometimes you'll watch black belt world matches for 10 fucking minutes and nothing is going on. And it's so weird because, like, you think so highly of this shit and you're like, oh my god, like, this is a black belt who's having a hard time passing the guard of another black belt. Or, you know, they won by advantage or ref's decision because, you know, it's either so intricate or people know the rule set, which is, we have discussed this with other black belts who competed and won those titles. Two of which have talked about situations where they lost because of their opponent's understanding the rule set.
Well, and that, or some that of them, win. That are some of them, like, I mean, there's a couple of girls that I've gone against where it's, they do one thing, but guess what? They do it really fucking well.
Yeah.
So unless you can figure out how to break that up or throw them off their A game, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of competing, where it's like, if somebody has their A game, you can be pissed being like, yeah, well, they just did the one thing, but they got you with it.
Yeah.
You know, the only person you can be upset with is yourself. So, for example, like, some of the girls I keep going against, they do the same exact thing every single time, like clockwork. Like, they post highlight videos, and it's the same thing with just different colored geese. But guess what? If you know what's going to happen, what have you not done to prevent it?
Yeah.
So, like, this is my first time competing where it's, I actually disrupted somebody's A game and threw them off. You know, up until that point, I knew what was going to happen. I just didn't train enough to be able to stop it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, sometimes it's frustrating where it's like, this is all they ever do. But guess what? If that's all they ever did and you still can't beat it, then you ain't shit either.
Yeah. Because I think you've got to look at, when it comes to competing, what are your own goals for going out and doing that competition? You know, you've got people who sign up because they've got to prove something to themselves. They've got to just step on those mats, get over things like performance anxiety. People just want to improve with their jiu-jitsu. And there are other people that, you know, want to win, make a career out of it. There's, everybody's goals are different for competing. It's just getting to the point, for me mentally, there's some burnout, and then the frustration is, what I've gotten to is, like, why am I trying to compete at a lighter weight class when I'm not physically strong right there? And I know that if I can move to a different weight class and start challenging myself more, not doing better, like winning, is just so much more of, like, I want to challenge myself to go up a weight class. I want to put on some weight. I want to, you know, see how much difference that makes with my, like, how much of a difference that makes with my game. And, you know, everybody's got to do this, but, you know, there are things that you'll see also in person and things you'll see on social media, and it kind of breaks down that, that curtain, you know.
It's the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I was just thinking the same thing. So here's the thing. For example, there was one person where the whole time I was like, man, they do so many IBJJFs. They get all these gold medals. I'm really intimidated by them. And then roll with them, and they rape choke me.
Yeah.
Didn't try to pass, really. Just trying to rape choke me.
Yeah.
And hide. And I, like, the whole time in my mind, I'm like, this is somebody I thought was going to be, like, hot shit. And then I got out and won the match.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and I noticed that
there's this mental thing where we see wins and we think that means they're good.
Or we see someone with a large social media following. Here's another thing. When you see someone who's less than a brown belt with a large social media following, most of the time their jiu-jitsu's not going to be up to what
the standard that you think.
Yes.
And it's not to say that they're not good. Like, that's not what I meant at all. It's just the level and expectation, like, you've put them on, where you kind of put them on this pedestal where you're like, man, gotta go against this person, and they've won all these things, and then you're already losing. Going on the mats, having this idea of, like, they're all of this, you already lost. you can't go in like that. And then that was a big realization for me here recently. It's just what we think someone should be, mm-hmm. or how we've perceived them on social media, that doesn't mean that they are.
Yeah.
Or not even it doesn't mean that they are. It doesn't mean that you're not.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you are any less. Just because you don't have a huge social media following, just because you don't have all of these like glamorous photos. Trust me, all of my photos recently, I actually had a breakdown about it. Like all of my photos recently have been just terrible if they've caught them at all. And it's just like, yes, I had one picture from this weekend and it looked so bad. I literally cried because I was just like, I looked like this whale ogre scrunched up face. And I had a moment where I thought like all of our friends and family are going to see this and this is going to be their perception of me. They're not going to know that I had good jujitsu that day. They're not going to know that that was the best match I've had competing ever. They're just going to see this one moment. And it was a really eye-opening experience thinking about it where I was like, I'm allowing a picture to dictate my technique.
Yeah, because you did really well. Like, you did so well.
Honestly, that was the best. I've gotten disqualified multiple times this weekend, but that was the best I've ever had.
It was so good. But I know what you're saying.
Where it's like, we think of what people see. They can see, they only see the highlight reel. They only see the good things or the really bad things. They don't see the rest of the match.
Yeah, and it's like,
everything can be taken out of context.
So terrible, but
what
we're saying though is, you know, where we're at with social media, and then I think that puts the pressure on people to continue to compete sometimes, where it's like, oh, that's going to feel so good getting a picture on a podium with a gold medal, and then people are going to be like, good job, you know, but that's not the point. And I know kind of like the way we went so roundabout and, you know, talking about this, because I did want to talk about just like the burnout that I felt from this weekend. And then, you know, we kind of went the way that we did, which is good though, because it's something to talk about, because it's like we saw so many people burnt out. We talked to so many people and there was so much burnout from so many people that it was like, we need a break. And I do understand that these tournaments and organizations, they need to make money. This is what they do. So, you know, people are going to sign up. This isn't on them. Or we're like, IBJJF, give us a break,
please. We're like, hey, quit doing this.
But, like, because you see other people sign up.
Because we are the ones that signed up. And a lot of it has to deal with, what, FOMO, fear of missing out?
Yes.
That's what a lot of it is that, for example, Atlanta. All of our teammates were finally going to compete, and we didn't want to be alone, where it's like, we have to do Atlanta because all of our teammates are doing Atlanta, even though we didn't want to do Atlanta, you know?
It was close.
That was another thing, where it's like, but it's right here in our backyard. I need to go to this one. Even if you don't want to, you justify it in yourself, where it's like, well, this one's convenient, so if I'm going to go to one, I should go to the one that's like right down the road. And then you get to it, and you're like, motherfucker, it's right down the road. I don't want to go.
Yeah. I know that I felt that way, and that's when they were like, oh, IBJJF's come back to Charleston. I was like, fuck that. Like, I'm not going to Charleston. I'm not. At this point, I don't feel like it. I really don't. I want to have a fun summer. I do. And that's not to say that I don't have the work ethic to train. It's just, I know I'm doing well, and I just want to take a step back to try other things. So, you know, now trying to do Muay Thai, just to take up a new hobby, to break up jiu-jitsu. I'm going to do a dance class tonight because dance was my first love. Like, you know, anytime I have the opportunity to take a dance class, I'll take it. You know, like we were in Florida, I wanted to get a skimboard and try skimboarding. Mm-hmm. I want to try doing other things. And so it's also really important, especially if you're, for people who are around my age, where I'm going to be 34 in the next couple of weeks, having additional hobbies outside of jiu-jitsu, because jiu-jitsu is not everything. If this isn't your job and you have a regular job and you have kids and you don't even need a sponsor, you can sponsor your own damn self going to a tournament. Like,
wait, no, I need a sponsor. Let's sponsor me. Hold on. Let's not tell you not to do anything like that.
I'm telling you.
Hello. So it's like, wink, wink.
Sorry, that's not what I meant. I meant But for the people out there that don't put pressure on yourself to keep doing these things. It is fun to sign up and go to tournaments when you have a good supportive team, when you're able to go as a group and go down and cheer for each other. That's actually really cool to be a part of. It is fun to coach people who are competing that are teammates that, you know, maybe white belts. You know, if you're like a blue belt and up, the kids. Sometimes it's fun to not even sign up yourself and just go and sit. That way they, you know, your coach has additional people to help coach, you know, your teammates. Mm-hmm. That's also a really cool thing to be part of where, you know, you're not signing up to do it. It's like, you know,
sometimes it's better to not compete. Yeah. Actually, no. I will say I get more stressed out when Misty competes than anything than when I compete. I can walk on the mat, be fine, be like, hey, you can stop me. Like, it's fine. I get so anxious when Misty competes.
Really?
I do. Do you not realize I have to hand the phone off?
No.
I can't record and yell at you at the same time.
Well, I do the same thing. Sometimes it's like I get anxious for like you and other people too, but I don't say anything because I'm like, oh, I'm not the one fucking doing it. But
oh no, I feel okay. It's really weird. I feel because I'm going through this thing where it's like I don't like get excited, but I don't really like freak out. I don't know, just weird. Anyways, I feel more when my teammates that I'm going to be coaching are going to compete than when I am going to compete. It's really, really weird right now.
Yeah.
And if anybody else feels this way, so I'm not alone, please let me know.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
justify David, my feelings.
David says that too. Like,
validate me.
Especially like when people fight, you know,
mm-hmm.
other people get nervous. So yeah, that makes sense. Or like when the kids do it, you see the kids and they're so nervous.
Oh my God,
like,
that's terrible.
Oh my God, I can't be nervous because the kids are nervous, but... sometimes that's fun to do too, so it'll just like relieve pressure from yourself, from competing. I get it, because I know everybody's going to want to go down for Charleston, and I'm going to be like, peace.
Yeah,
y'all have
deuces.
Fun. Maybe go down for the day. I would rather go to Charleston and watch a couple of people compete and then go to the beach. Like, that would be fun, but.
I can see that.
There are so many other things that are going on. Like PANS and the Masters Worlds. So like new challenges I want to do over the summer are going to be trying new hobbies of things I want to do, but then challenge myself by doing PANS at a going up a weight class for PANS mm-hmm. and Masters Worlds just to see what happens. Because mm-hmm. I'm still a blue belt. Like, it's cool, yeah, if you win like Masters Worlds or PANS is like a blue belt. But it's not the end-all, be-all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still have next year and the year after that and those times to do things. But we just wanted to... I just wanted to recap on, like, my thoughts from competing this weekend and...
Yeah. And, you know. Okay, pet peeve. If you're going to dip and bounce, let somebody fucking know so that they're not stuck in the bullpen for over an hour waiting on you.
Oh, yeah. Here's... That's,
if you...
That's
oh!
Yeah.
Okay, if you are, like... I'm not feeling it today. For example, like a lot of us sign up for Absolute and then we're like, I'm not feeling it. And then we kind of bounce.
Yeah.
You just fucked over all the people waiting in the bullpen because they have to wait like an hour before they can disqualify you.
Yeah.
So you know how you're like, man, I'm tired. I'm achy. I'm not feeling it. I want to go get dinner. Let's go get dinner. Let's go get something to drink. You know, and you bounce. The people that you were going to be going against, they also feel that way. They're like, I'm tired. I want to go home. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. I literally laid in the bullpen because I had gotten a bye, so my next match was dependent upon the match before me, and the girl didn't show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the other girl and I were looking at each other like, we know we're gonna go against each other because she bounced, but we cannot prove it and they have to wait. So we laid, like, she sat, I laid in the bullpen for an hour.
And
that happened to one of our teammates, too, during his weight class. So they couldn't even start his Absolute until his weight class was over so that they could sign up for Absolute. So he literally waited an hour, finally had his match, and then immediately had his Absolute match.
Oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. He closed out Atlanta.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing. If you're going to not show up, then, you know, do it in advance. Because, like I said, I wanted to leave that day.
Yeah.
Hours before I was competing and message my opponent, but I didn't because That would have been fucking rude. And then with the Absolute 2, if you're not going to do it, don't do it, because there are times if I feel comfortable it going into the Absolute, I would, when I realized there were only two women that I could have competed against, that would have been a yeah. time for me to sign up.
So, for example, David has the end all be all say. But when I am there and Misty and I are doing our own thing, I get to say yeah. what Misty does. So I make the judgment call of whether she can do Absolute or not based off of who signs up. So I look at her weight class before it closes. Well, not her weight class, but her rank for Absolute before it closes to mm-hmm. make the judgment call of whether or not she signs up.
Yeah.
When I see, hey, four super heavies have signed up, you are not going to do Absolute. But then when we get to Absolute and none of them have shown up, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's just, it kind of shitty, because it's like, she was here for me anyway. She could have had an opportunity to also do Absolute.
Yeah.
And I would have let her.
Yeah. But it's okay. I mean, it's the Atlanta Open. It's not the end all be all where I'm like, oh, these weren't the results I wanted, so it's the end of the fucking world. Like, no, it's fine. I'm just,
like some people,
we just got burnt out, but I think my advice, well, if my advice matters, and that's another thing where it's like, if this is just a reminder that you need, is like, FOMO feels like it's real, but it's not. You have to ultimately do what's best for you. And if you would rather binge watch a show on Netflix or watch a movie and have fun versus go out to a tournament and win this medal, get on the podium, and then feel like shit afterwards, sometimes it's not worth it. Like, yeah. to me, competing this weekend was not worth it.
Well, that, or like, if you decide early enough, like if it's a couple weeks out and you're like, man, I don't want to do this, and you look and you see that maybe there's like one other person in your bracket, you need to have gone ahead and dropped mm-hmm. so that they can see that before the final deadline. So if they need to move weight classes or drop out themselves to be able to, because, you know, you don't know if these people are like flying out 12 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they invested a lot of money in this. The sooner you make that decision, like, and I'm saying, like, if you really think you're going to go or you're waiting out and holding out, yeah, like, hold out to make sure you can get more opponents. But if you have actively decided, no, I'm not feeling it, I don't want to go, or I don't have any intention of actually going, you need to go ahead and pull your name off so that these yeah. girls who think that they're going to get a match. I know one girl came from West Virginia, sweetest as can be. This is, like, her second IBJJF. Super excited. She was supposed to have two girls in her weight class. Neither of them showed.
Yeah.
And she wasn't able to do Absolute. Wasn't able to do Nogi. That was her only match for the whole weekend. They came with a huge group. She waited in the bullpen for over an hour mm-hmm. to be told that she didn't have any matches.
Yeah. And
so,
oh,
I mean,
yeah. Well, and my opponent from Saturday, had I not shown up, they were going to put her in, my opponent Sunday too as well. Had I not shown up, they would have gotten their gold and had it been moved to the Absolute. But there were four super heavies.
Mm-hmm. Originally four super yeah. heavies.
And so they made the decision that they were like, I'm not going to do it because they could get hurt because they're even mm-hmm. smaller than me.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, they even removed her. She had signed up for the
Open. Oh, yeah. She got removed from it.
They removed her from the bracket. So had I not shown up, she had driven all that way for absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. So had, and like, even with me saying like, oh, it wasn't worth competing because I didn't win, that is not what I'm saying at all. Don't mm-hmm. misinterpret that. What I'm saying is I felt like shit. And it was way too hard on my body. I was way too tired and burnt out. It wasn't even where I competed and have fun, because there are multiple times I have lost and I still had fun going out and competing
mm-hmm.
and, you know, doing my best. I physically felt like shit, and I should have not been on those mats that day, because when I walked off, I felt like I was going to pass out. Like, yeah. I could not. I had to stop. Like, Sunday, I literally walked right outside of the bullpen so I wasn't in anybody's way, laid my sweater down, and had to, like, close my eyes and lay down until mm-hmm. everything stopped spinning. But I'm not going to take the wins away from my opponents who worked hard to be there and deserved those gold medals, because mm-hmm. both of them did. They both fucking won. They won. That's it.
Yeah, no matter how you're feeling, if you're like, yeah, I lost because I feel like shit, acknowledge that you feel like shit. Change it for next time. But at the end of the day, respect that you lost. Like, I understand we're like, yeah, I had a bad weekend. That is an acknowledgement. That is not an acceptance.
Yeah.
I want to point that out. These are two different things. Acknowledging why you lost is one thing. To know, like, I didn't sleep well, I felt like shit. But that is not accepting the loss.
Yeah.
You know, the loss is they still won.
Yeah.
For example, you could have had a shitty weekend and gotten tapped. They tapped you.
Yeah.
You know, like your circumstance, we've already talked about this, where you were like, you know, I still lost. You know, I felt good going into some of these matches. And, you know, like a DQ or something. And it was just like, shit happens.
Yeah.
You know, my opponent still won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It's just, it does grate on me where people are like, you know, I wasn't feeling good today. That's why I lost. Okay. We talk about it. Everybody has a bad day. Can you still push through the bad day and win?
Yeah.
You know? So a win is a win. A loss is a loss. No matter what the cause.
Yeah. For sure.
But I do understand being like, you know, this is going on. Acknowledging it. But at the end of the day, don't be like, well, they didn't really win. You know how some people are like, well, they didn't really beat me. And it's like, they fucking tapped you. Like, they beat you.
Yeah. Because, like, that's the whole fucking point.
Yeah.
And it's like, you see some of those competitors where they're, I mean, they're willing to compete any under any rule set. And, you know, if people are dodging it, where you hear people where they're like, well, I'm just more of a submission hunter. Or I do points. It's whatever. But you gotta own up to your own shit. And that's that. So, hopefully we'll have some interviews coming this way. I was going to tell you about this, but I want to bring Natalie back on the podcast to just solely talk about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can really, I think, pick her brain a little bit on talking about, you know, I think more effects of, like, weight cuts, like, what happened, and then gaining weight, and, because Natalie's a person who went from a small, lower weight class to a larger weight class, and has been doing exceptionally well, so I wanted to pick her brain on that, and I think it'd be really beneficial to talk to her about nutrition, and still have that part of, like, you know, the master classes she does, as well as, like, her performance blueprint, which we've interviewed her on, so
perfect.
We can discuss that with her. We're going to try and get, you know, interviews with Liz Mitrovic when she's here, another female black belt, high-level competitor, really awesome person. We'll see what other interviews we can get. But as far as updates go, like we said, Robert Daigle Seminars, $50 at UFC Gym Greenville. Please reach out to them or us if you're interested, and we'll forward your information along to them. If you're ever looking to do some cross-training and you're driving through the area, please make sure to check out not only our gym, but Spartanburg Jiu-Jitsu. They also go by Spartanburg Swim Team. If you don't follow them on Instagram now, you please do. They are an affiliate of Pedigo Submission Fighting. They train regularly with Heath Pedigo and some of their guys. So please go ahead, check them out. And then if you have questions about training with them, reach out to them. Anything else you want to add?
Message us. Questions. We'd love to hear from you. And again, if somebody knows a really lightweight belt, please hit your girl up and let her know.
We're still looking for podcast sponsors and what else? I was going to say something else.
If not, we love you.
Yeah, or if you have seminars. If you have seminars or camps or anything you want mentioned on the podcast, we'd be happy to give you a shout out for that too, but we appreciate the ongoing support and love, and yes, we appreciate it. Thank you.
We're gonna go take a nap now.